Mishkan, you're never alone.
Hello, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour. This is Nitza Moshe, and we are continuing the Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride series and the checklist for your get out of preparedness bag or prepare your car, vehicle, whatever. And I have Suzette Robinson with us, who has been gracious enough to share all this great information with us. Suzette, are you there?
Yes. Hello. Shalom.
Shalom. All right. So we want to start out this week. I believe this is part 7. And you usually share the website. Please share the website. And then you have some resources for us.
Yes. The website is www.painted, like I painted the house, tongue, like I bit my tongue, .com.
All right.
And there's a PowerPoint and just a list you can print off on there.
Right. The PowerPoint and a list is really great. So please download that for your information. And Suzette is also the one who presents the used affordable linen garments on remnantremedy.net. And so we encourage you to check that out. And you have some resources to share with us this week, Suzette?
Yes, our ongoing list. We have the Herbalist by Joseph E. Meyer and Homesteading, a Backyard Guide to Growing Your Own Food, Canning, Keeping Chickens, Generating Your Own Energy, Crafting Herbal Medicine, and More, edited by Abigail R. Gehring. And 5 Acres and Independence, a Handbook for Small Farm Management by M.G. Keynes, and the Folk Remedy Encyclopedia by the editors of FCNA Medical Publishing.
Right. And I think you have like 100 references or resources listed with your little grab list, right?
Yes. There's pages and pages of that. And a lot of them are on producing your own power and alternative energy. And then homesteading and natural medicines. There's a range of topics.
Okay. All right. And so we have covered the A's and the B's, and we're on the C's of this checkout list. And last week we did talk about clothing, but we didn't leave out our favorite. We left out, our favorite subject, linen. And do you want to share a little bit about that? Linen for your bug out bag there?
Yes, linen. Anybody who knows us knows we love linen, and there's so many uses for it. And as a clothing, we know that linen is exceptional. Father has it throughout Scripture that the prophets wore it, King David wore it, Messiah wore it. He will be wearing it. The saints will be wearing it. And the priests wore it, and it was the clothing of the tabernacle. There's so much beautiful reference to linen in Scripture, and we know that it is cooling in the summer and warm in the winter. I know a lot of people think that linen is only a summer item. That's the number one probably question I get is, well, isn't that a summer fabric? They do tend to make the linen thinner and for a summer fabric, but you can get heavy winter weight linens or layer, and it's wonderful. I'm usually good. I'm in Michigan. It's cold. If I wear just 2 layers of linen in the winter, I'm usually toasty as far as on my shirts. And then pants, I do try to get a little thicker, heavier weight linen to wear in the wintertime. And it's cooling, like I said, in the summer, it wicks away sweat, and it's warm in the winter, and it has all those other properties of, naturally pest resistant, naturally mold resistant, supposed to be gamma radiation resistant or repelling. It's got wonderful properties and the energy and healing levels.
Right. And, some people about the linen sheets say, well, they're kind of cold. Well, they're actually cold when you first get in them, but then they warm up to your body and they actually keep you warmer than the other ones. And I know that because I live in Northwest Montana. So, again, if you layer and once you get into it, it either keeps your body cooler or warmer. And, again, layering for those who are concerned. And is there anything else you want to share about that? I mean, you can use them for face masks. If you were trying to filter out particles, you could use them for goat's cheese and, filtering when you're making homemade soap. And there's so many things you could use linen for. You can make your ace bandages. It's great to soak your compress herbs or oils on. And then, whatever area you're treating with herbs or oils to use linen.
Yeah, it has better medicinal healing properties than standard cotton or other bandages. We talk about that. We've mentioned that several times, and I can personally attest to that from my own use of it. And I know studies have shown that, like, patients in linen sheets get less bed sores than they do in standard sheets. So we know that it has a healing, healthy property to it as well. I think it's got to be the perfect fabric for the bug out bag and for the survival gear.
Right. Not just, you know, not saying you shouldn't take a wool blanket, because there's, you know, definite pluses for either or, and maybe, wool clothing. You know the differences, and definitely, if you can, try to take advantage of the natural fibers before you just pile up all the polyesters and stuff. So,
yeah, I have wool too, and wool has the other healing high property, and we haven't gotten there yet, but we talk about wool as an insulator. It retains its loft. Well, I think we did mention that when it's wet, mm-hmm. where like polyester and down do not. And wool is the other biblical fabric that is mentioned. So definitely good to have that as well, especially if you're in a cold climate. Just don't have them blended together.
Right. So let's get on to communication this week.
Yes. We know that there's a chance that if something happened, the communication grid could be down, and there may be a situation where you don't want to really have people openly able to communicate with you. So you have to have a plan in place. I know when, you know, maybe when your kids are in those who have kids in public school, and you have that plan where, you know, you have to have a password to pick up your child. Nobody can just show up and say, I'm here to pick up, you know, Johnny. And you would want to have this prearranged with your family, and you might have like a code like shirt. And instead of your family having to say, let's say it was bad conditions, whether the house was unsafe or the conditions of the, you know, environment were unsafe, or the, you know, whatever was happening in the area was unsafe. And you might not want to have your family come in and find a note written on the kitchen table. Hey, we went to blah, 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 blah. You would want to have this code word worked out. So if your code word was shirt, you might spray paint a shirt on the side of your house. You might toss a shirt into a tree. You might put one on the wall in the house as well, or just leave that kind of a code and leave it in multiple ways so that anyone who came and approached the house wouldn't necessarily have to get all the way into the house, but would know immediately that that means, hey, we need to meet at, you know, the safety location, the bug out location, whatever it is, and make it redundant so that if it, you know, somebody disturbs it, I mean, a spray paint on the side of the house would be hard to miss and hard to remove. A shirt hanging in a tree could potentially be blown down. But if you have several ways that you leave that message to people, they can get that message without having to endanger themselves. And you want to make sure that for communication, like I said, you may want to leave your phone behind. You may want to leave your, don't have your Wi-Fi connected devices with you. Don't have your GPS. There's, you know, things about your GPS, like there's a home button on there. And if, say, your GPS was stolen or confiscated and you were somewhere else and you didn't want someone to know where your home was, all they have to do is hit that home button and they know exactly how to get to your house. So these are things to consider. If you're trying to bug out, leave those things behind. Have anybody you need to contact on paper and take that with you. And don't leave behind, you know, like if I had, you know, my computer with addresses or things in it, I would, if I didn't want that information found, I would certainly make an effort to destroy it.
Yeah, or, you know, make sure it goes with you and so you can't destroy it. You know, during the Civil War, excuse me, not the Civil War, the Revolutionary War in early American history, people would paint their chimneys either black or I think it was black or white. And I can't remember which was which, but by the color of the chimney, you could tell whether the person living on that farm or in that home was a sympathizer with England or with the Patriots. They also did that with quilts. So those are some of the, you know, ideas that people can use. It might be a color even, or something like that on an item. So those are things to consider.
Yep. It's good to have this prearranged and not send it via, you know, don't discuss it in your text message or your emails for sure.
Right. Right. Everything's recorded, people. Everything. Even conversations are pretty much could be tapped into. So if you are going to have conversations, try to go somewhere where there is no cell phone, no computers, you know, no technology that you know of, and maybe have something in the background. You know, if you can go by a river or, you know, a mall, somewhere where there's something else playing in the background, but you don't have any kind of technology very close to you. And, you know, you might want to consider things that would be, you know, the code to meet me wherever that pre-planned destination place is, or, you know, it means to go get the most important items out of the house that you need that you've already got pre-packaged or ready to go. And, or, you know, maybe it's a warning signal so that you know that when you see this symbol or sign, and, you know, you might even want to play with ancient Hebrew, because a lot of people aren't really going to necessarily know what those things are. So you might want to look at something like that too.
That'd be excellent. I like that idea.
You know, back in the Girl Scout days, you know, when you used to go out on those things and then you had these little symbols that you made out of twigs and rocks or whatever. Well, you know, maybe you could do something with that in the Hebrew too. So, and ancient Hebrew is just easier, I think, than modern Hebrew when you're doing something crude too like that. Yeah. So, alrighty. So, yeah, consider your communications. The next one is your compass for your auto, flea bag, or just in general for direction.
Yeah, have a good one. If you know how to operate the, you know, the military style, those are very reliable and hardy. You definitely want to have that. Don't rely on the GPS all the time or, you know, any electronics.
Yeah, some people rely on GPS and end up dead. At least they do in the Northwest. And common sense. What about, you know, we haven't really talked about the Army surplus stores. Are they all over the country or just in certain areas?
I think they're generally located all over. Okay. And, you know, they have a great range of things in there a lot of it's online. I mean, it's very
What about easy. Pawn shops?
Yeah. I mean, you can find some great deals there for all kinds of gear.
You know, so your compasses and some of your gear wear, and, you know, and that's another thing to consider. Yeah, you can buy everything online, but maybe to go to an old timey pawn shop or
garage sales,
Army surplus store, or yeah, garage sales, you know,
flea markets.
Where to go.
Yeah, because those are usually cash transactions. Sometimes they're trash transactions. Cash transactions, and, you know, certainly some of that stuff is better to just buy it and have it without having to deal with, you know, everything being, like you said, recorded and tracked.
I mean, the next thing we got drones following us around. But I got a new saying, by the way, up here. We used to, you know, when we're driving, we used to dodge deer, and now we dodge drones. No, just deer and drones. Anyway, it's coming to that, people.
I think it's, you know, dial a drone, right?
That's okay, so let's next on our list is compression or ACE bandages, which, of course, you know, I have mentioned that I actually made mine out of scraps of linen, but let's hear what you got to say there.
Yeah, linen works great for bandaging. And the other option is, if you want the more, you know, spongy kind or stretchy kind, the veterinary supply is a much cheaper, and you get a bigger, more sturdier bandage, like for the horses. I ran to the local TSC and loaded up on several of those from way less money than I would have paid for the medical kind. And even those I have found at thrift stores, and I just bring them home, wash them, and hang them dry. So it's good to have those in your first, certainly for your first aid kit, and at least have maybe one in your bug out bag and your general supply kit.
Right. And, you know, I wish I could think of what it is on the top of my head, but there's a couple of items that I have noticed when I go to, say, Walmart or department store, or like we have a Murdoch's, kind of like a ranch supply store. If you find that same item in a different department, it's less expensive than it is in another department.
Yeah.
It has to do with what they use it for, and they figure whether or not you're going to spend more money on it because of it. So sometimes check out what all the different uses are, and maybe it's in a whole different department. I've seen some things in both departments and less expensive in one department.
Yeah, tackle boxes are great, like that, like the little tiny organizer boxes for tackle boxes. If you go to the home organization section, you can get those same hard.
Yeah, cheaper than the fishing department.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. How about we got cooking gear here?
Yeah, now cast iron is a standby favorite. I mean, it's got to be the best, you know, for campfire, cowboy, camping. I mean, it's really great, but it is kind of heavy. So the one thing so cast iron would be the number one choice if you have a way to carry it, or maybe you just, you know, reduce it down to one good pan or something. All stainless steel. Aluminum, we know, is toxic. We definitely don't want nonstick. They're already showing with that, or green ink. They're finally saying that the FDA is going to stop, wants them to stop producing the regular nonstick, the fluoro, hydrofluoro, whatever it is, by 2015. But they've known for years that they needed to stop producing that. So it's been toxic on the market for a long time. So you don't want to use that stuff. It peels. You want to have the all stainless steel. Like we used to have like the copper bottom, you know, Revere wear pans, nice pans, but they have those plastic candles. In a campfire, you're not going to use that. That's not going to work very well at all. So you want to make sure that you get all stainless or cast iron. And those are also easy to pick up. Use, look for special sales at the stores. A lot of times you can get a nice set of pans for a couple hundred dollars when the stores run special sales around the holidays and stuff. Just make sure you got something that can go through a fire, and you can kosher them. We kosher our pans. I buy them used all the time, and we have a fireplace that we heat with. I run them through the dishwasher, then I put them in the fireplace, then they go back to the dishwasher, and then if they're cast iron, they have to get oiled and seasoned, and they come out looking like brand new.
Well, now let's talk about Dutch oven cooking. Do you do any of that?
A little bit.
You know, when you bury it into the ground?
No, I have not tried that.
Okay. Well, I went to an outfitter's thing once. It's called Bow, actually, B-O-W, Becoming an Outdoors Woman. And check in your states for these, because these are really great. They're usually sponsored by the Fish and Wildlife, you know, the Forest Service, different organizations that get together, federal and local. And it's usually a weekend. It could be a one-day or three-day, two-day, three-day weekend. And like we had one where, and you got to pick, we did archery, we did Dutch oven cooking with the outfitter, we did kayaking, we did compass work, we got fly fishing. I mean, I couldn't do all of it, but I got to pick quite a few of it. And it's just especially there for women, so that women learn how to do these things. And one of the things that I learned with the Dutch oven cooking was, you know, obviously how to dig the hole in the ground and put it in there. But you also need to spend some time learning about your woods, the wood that is in your area where you may bug out to, because, you know, like what we call our poplar or our cottonwood doesn't smoke. It's not a wood that gets very smoky. And so that is the best wood to use when you're cooking in the ground, because you don't want something that's going to give off a lot of smoke to attract a lot of people. So that's something to check out and learn the woods in your area. We encourage you to go to paintedtongue.com, and you can download the PowerPoint and a lot of resources and information and follow along with us, because we do add information in between that wouldn't be on that list, but there's a lot more on that list that we just can't really cover in detail. Suzette, is there anything else you'd like to share on that topic?
Yeah. The other thing about you were saying about the woods would be the temperature at which they burn and cook. I know the ladies with the old wood stove ovens really understood that. And the other thing you'd want to think about is your cooking racks and your hanging pot frame.
Right. Okay.
If you want to have additional gear.
Right. Right. Well, and again, this isn't all going to fit in your little grab bag, but these are things to consider, go through and, you know, have on hand and or to, you know, have. We use those plastic like crates or trunks to put in stuff in so that it's all ready to go when we go on a trip, or we feel like, you know, we might need it for some reason. Of course, you know, because these are also things that, you know, if you can experiment and just have fun, go camping. And it's really kind of almost a list for your little Sukkot trip. So,
absolutely.
All right. So we did the cooking gear. We covered that a little bit. And what about cotton balls? Why do we need those?
Cotton balls make a great fire starter. If they're soaked in rubbing alcohol or Vaseline, they are really good. They work really good for that.
All right.
And, of course, you can use them for the regular use, you know, cleaning wounds or what have you, but they're not necessary for that. They just make a great small fire starter.
Right. And I've seen people, you know, take little plastic containers, little metal, like the old-fashioned, I don't know if you can get them like that anymore, but, you know, your bandage boxes, you know, the little metal aluminum tin. And anyway, they will take different kinds of bottles, containers, small ones that are easy to put a lid on or close up, and then they would put those little cotton balls that are soaked in there so that they can carry them in their backpack and then just pull them up when they need to start a fire.
Yeah, and considering how crucial fire is, it's a really small, easy way to have a good fire-starting item with you.
Right.
That's very small.
All right. What about crystallized iodine, and why do we need that?
Yeah, Polar Pure is the brand that I have found. And that is for water purification in lieu of a filter or maybe with a filter. It's very lightweight, comes in a small glass bottle. It's kind of crystally looking, and you use a very small amount. There's instructions on it. You have to let it sit for a while. But that and boiling are the only ways readily available to make water potable as far as killing. I think it kills the spores and everything, where like bleach does not kill spores. So this is stuff that missionaries will take into the field.
Okay. And another thing I just wanted to bring up and encourage you to do your research on is a product that used to be called MMS, which was Miracle Mineral. And they have made them change that. So sometimes you will find it under water purification. And this is used for lots of different health protocol. But originally, it was used in the deep jungles for people who were going way deep into the jungles of Africa or South America for mining. And they would use it to purify their water. And then they discovered that it also works for malaria and some other things. And so I encourage you to look that up. I believe one of the websites is called www.genesis2church.com. Another one is www.mmsnews.org, and that is MMS as in mineral, miracle mineral solution. So check that out and look up. A lot of this stuff is online for your information. Of course, we're not doctors. We're not prescribing or you know, telling you how to do your health, but do your research. And this is all for resource information for you to look up and check that out for water for water purification. And don't forget, Remnant Remedy does have Dalton water filters and gravity-fed ones also. All right. How about the dehydrated foods or the freeze-dried foods?
Wow, we made it to D.
Yeah.
Dehydrated foods, we all know, you know, water is heavy. And so dehydrated foods are a great way to pack a lot of foods into a small space for less weight. Now, you do have to have the water because if you, you know, obviously if you're consuming a lot of dehydrated foods and you don't have proper hydration, there's going to be a problem. They're expensive to buy, but there are different sources. One of my favorites is AtlanticSpice.com. I don't think they have too many things that are organic, but their prices are very reasonable. Like they have a stew mix that's last time I bought it, I think it was around $6 or something for 5 pounds or it was a pound, but it makes a huge pot of a soup. And they have other dehydrated vegetables. And you can make your own if you have a commercial dehydrator, or you can have make a solar dehydrator. And I have dehydrated just about everything. I've tried yogurt. It came out fairly tart. A lot of times the grocery stores have markdowns on fresh produce and stuff like that. And I try to go in and buy what I can, and that I can get run through the dehydrator in enough time before it goes bad.
You're listening to the Remnant Radio Show with your host, Nitza Moshe. This concludes part A of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride.